It's good to be with you here today. I'm excited. And one of the reasons I'm excited today is that I just put new double A's in the microphone. So that gives me a longer life. No, why I'm excited today is because it is very evident when God is working greater than us, and yet God is allowing that work to be through us. And to be able to witness that and hear it, and for Ben to lead our hearts into the steadfast love of the Lord. And he wasn't even in our study this morning. As we saw that in here, he was teaching his class. And God just kind of working all of that through. And Jerry reminding our hearts to be humble. And just to be reminded today, maybe one of the most powerful things that has hit me today is to be called to give as though today is the only day we have to give. I mean, what keeps us from being generous? It's fear. It's fear of tomorrow. I can't do that today because I'm worried about tomorrow. My mind can't be here today because I have to drive tomorrow. I got to go back to work tomorrow. I got all this stuff tomorrow. I can't be generous today because, well, I need those resources for tomorrow. And what a gift to be recalled that our Lord and Savior says, look, today's enough for today. Be here today. We are, for those of you visiting, and Bighams, I'm glad you guys are all here. It's good to see you. But for those of you that haven't been with us, we've been going through the book of Acts, and we've been taking a look of what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit of Christ and to walk our lives fulfilling the purposes that he began and that he has given to us. And we're coming near the end of the book of Acts, and we're coming very closely to the end of 2025. And I'm really excited about whatever God gives us in 2026, because I don't know, since 2020, it's just felt, yeah. And look, church, as far as it's up to us, the eh needs to be done. It's been 5 years of eh, and the world's stuck in the eh. They're stuck in the not sure. They're stuck in the, whoa, what is that going to do? And what's that going to do? And church, we're sure. We know. We know what Jesus has done. We know that God has overcome the grave. We know the death is no longer on the table. We've been redeemed. Everything has been changed. And so what we'll face tomorrow at work and what we look at on the news and what we see on social media, all of that in the system that just keeps churning on and just trying to just to keep our eyes closed and go along with the program. Church, we've been given the light. And the light shines right through the program. Shows the world's system for as empty as they are. So it's time. It's time for us to live for those eternal things. It's time for us to live for those things that we are preparing for, because there's only going to be one thing in the end. There's only going to be one in the end. And those that are with him. So I'm excited for today. I'm excited for the new year. So we're going to go to our Father in prayer, and then we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 20. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for calling us together in your name. Father, we thank you for your steadfast love, for the way in which you created all things and gave them to us, for the way in which you called Abraham out and made a covenant with him, the way in which you saved your people from hundreds of years of slavery and took them out in the middle of nowhere and made them your people. Father, we thank you for your Son, for your willingness to take on flesh, to live life and see life and experience life as we do, and to show us what faithful love looks like. We thank you for your willingness to give us the gift of Jesus, for his willingness to die on the cross for our sins. And we thank you for showing us your power over life and death and everything. Increase our faith, Father, because we do. We believe you. We believe you. We believe in all that you have said and done. And yet, as we walk with the Spirit that you have left us, as we live each day forming our will and our hearts into yours, strengthen us for that, Lord, because we know that we fall short and we know that we miss the mark. So we pray, Lord, that our hearts will be full of you. We pray, Lord, that our desires will be your desires, that we will spend our energy figuring out and doing what pleases you, because what pleases you is always the best. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 20, go down to verse 17. Acts 20, 17. Paul is getting close to his destination. And just as the second half of the book of Acts has really followed Paul around as he shares the good news of Jesus, he's getting close, and here in Acts chapter 20, he makes a pit stop in Ephesus. He spent a lot of time in Ephesus. He has worked very closely with the believers here. He has established a church, and he has helped them with their elders, with their shepherds. And here, he comes back through, and he gives them, and this is kind of his farewell address to them. And he says to them, look, this is it. This is the last time that we're going to see each other. And so, I need to give you some important things. It's a very powerful lesson that he provides, and we get a lot of good from it. So I want us to read in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 17. It says, now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul shows up to him and he goes, hey, look, I need you to know, I need you to remind you how I served you here, you people here in this town. And he says two important things that I want us to get from this. Verse 18, he says, you remember how I lived when I was with you. How I lived. And then in verse 21, what I testified. So Paul says, here's the thing. This is what I want you to see. I want you to see the example of my life, and I want you to remember the message that I have shared with you, that he testified about repentance and faith, repentance towards God, turning back to God. It's God's story. It's God's story from the very beginning of come back to me. Come back to me, because I know you've messed up. I know you've gone astray. I know you've chased other things. And God, in his faithfulness, is always saying, come back to me. I will provide a way for you to come back to me. And so Paul says, this is what I've testified to you, that in Jesus Christ, faith in the Son of God is the way that God has made for us to come back to Him. So church, as we walk and live filled with the Spirit of Christ, we need to make sure that our lives are matching the message. And our testimony, what we share with other people, is repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. God wants everybody back. God wants everybody back. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 real quick. Verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Strange sounding question, isn't it? Hey, do you not understand? Do you not understand that God has made you His holy place? God has made you His holy place. Now think about all the holy places that have been throughout the Bible. Think about the tabernacle, and think about the temple, and you think about all those places in which, okay, God is there. His presence is there. That this is holy ground. I mean, even the time when God showed up at the burning bush, right? What does He tell Moses to do? What's the first thing He tells him to do when Moses sees the burning bush? Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. Take your shoes off. Don't bring that dirt in here, right? So all these things that we've seen, all these stories in which we understand that God is holy, that He is other, that He is above, that He is greater, all of those things. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this same Paul writes to believers and he says, look, you need to understand something, that you are that holy place. You are that place in which God has seen fit to make His presence dwell. Now, what is Paul getting to? That you and I should all take off our shoes? Live a barefoot existence? Is that the point? Some of us would be happy about that, but some of us would be like, no. What Paul is saying is you have got to understand that you are now the place where God has chosen to be. You are the temple of God. Your body and your life is the location inside of all creation, all of us, that God chooses to set up camp and be right here. And He does that through His Spirit. That's what we're talking about. So, what does that mean for me? Well, what that means for me, back to Acts chapter 20, to go along with what Paul is trying to share with these believers, is that how we live, that's holy. That is other. It doesn't look like everybody else. It doesn't go along with everybody else. It cannot just accept, well, you know, everybody else is doing it, so that's just what I'll do. Everybody else does this, so that's what I'll do. You know what we call that when everybody else is doing it? It's not holy. It's common. It's common. And holy is one thing. Well, holy may be lots of things. But holy is definitely not common. Holy is holy. And God's Holy Spirit dwells in us. We are the place where that holiness lives. So our lives, how we live, is other. It's not common. It doesn't look like everybody else. It does not accept that, well, that's what everybody else is doing, so that's just what I'm going to do. Everybody else that does not know Jesus is doing certain things. Well, that's not me. That's not me. It can't be me, because I am a temple of the living God. His Spirit dwells in me. So it's a little more than bare feet or sandals. It's about being other, because the presence that guides my life and the light that is within me is other. closer to God than it is those who don't know him. It has to be. So that's what I look like. That's what my life looks like. Now, what do I do with that? What do we say? What do we speak of? We speak of exactly what Paul says back here in Acts chapter 20. The message that we have for others, turn back to God and put your faith in Jesus. Turn back to God. Now, to the lost, that's the message. Turn back to God. God loves you. Well, how can God love me? My life is a mess. Exactly. Your life is a mess. Without God, everybody's life is a mess. Without God, my life was a mess. And even after I knew God, the times when I wasn't faithful to God, my life was a mess. So the call to me is always turn back to God, because God loves me. He doesn't want my life to be a mess. He doesn't want my life to be a mess. Why? That's not good. It's not good. It's not what makes for good. It's not what makes for flourishing. None of it's good. And so God calls me back to him, and he calls the lost back to him. So that's our message. Repent. Turn back to God. And what else do we tell people? What should we be telling each other? What should we be telling the person in the mirror every morning? Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What's today going to look like for me? It's going to look like I have faith in Jesus. What's 2026 going to look for me? Look like for me? It's going to look like I have faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's not just my Savior. He's not just the one that died for my sins. He's the one that has redeemed me. He is the one who has purchased me. I am his. That's what Lord means. It means master. It means what he wants for my life, that's what I'm doing. What he wants my life to look like, that's what my life is going to look like. What he demands of me, that's what I'm going to give him. That's the message. And that message is for me. That message is for you. That message is for all believers. That message is for those that are lost. That message is for everybody. There is one Lord, one Savior, and we have seen it throughout the book of Acts. There is one name given to us by which we all must be saved. Because in the end, there is only going to be one left. In the end, all of his enemies will be made a footstool. In the end, every knee shall bow. And in the end, every tongue will be forced to confess that he is it. And he is the only. So every day I get up and I share the message. I share the message that faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that matters. Let's continue on in verse 22 for this next section. Acts 20:22 says, "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." All right, so Paul is carrying on this ministry, and he has said, look, I'm constrained by the Holy Spirit. I have given myself to my Lord Jesus Christ. It is no longer me that directs these steps wherever I go. It is the Spirit. And we have seen through the book of Acts some places where the Spirit says, nope, we're not going there, right? And we have seen some places where the Spirit says, hey, you need to go here. And sometimes that was the Spirit speaking directly to Paul and saying, hey, we're staying away from that place. And sometimes it's in the form of a person. And a person would show up and say, hey, Paul, we need you to come give us good news here. And so Paul is walking in the Spirit. We've also seen a couple chapters back where God comes to Paul, and specifically when he's in Corinth, and he says, hey, don't be afraid of them. They're not going to hurt you. Remember that one? Yeah. And so all of this is going on, the riots happening, and all this stuff is going on around him, and everyone just kind of steps in and speaks for Paul, and he's protected. Now he is saying, okay, the Spirit tells me I got to go to Jerusalem, and it's going to hurt. See, before it was comfort. Before the Spirit was says, hey, don't sweat it, Paul. You keep just sharing the gospel. You keep just going where I tell you. You share the gospel. I got many believers around here, and you're going to be fine. Now Paul is sharing the news that the Holy Spirit has shown him. Hey, Paul, so this next part, yeah, it's going to hurt. But you know what does not change? You know what does not change is Paul's faith. Okay, so I was given some good days. I was given some days where I got to go and I got to tell people about Jesus. They were excited and they were jumping up and down. And woo, it was fun because we were all on the same page. And there were some days where there was a mob of angry people literally trying to chase me down and have me killed. Paul's conclusion to Ephesus doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Paul, what are you talking about? What are you saying? How can these 2 days be absolutely the same for you or not matter whether it's just going to be a nice and easy day or a difficult day? Now, you and I mean, you get up and you're getting ready in the morning and you know, right? You know, oh, I am not looking forward to this. I already know what I got going on today and yeah, it's not going to be good, right? We do this before we even get there. We go to work each day, we go to school each day, and we're like, yeah, I'm dreading this. I'm not looking forward to this. Or, ha ha, ha. Yeah, my teacher's going to be out today. I got a sub, right? So we look forward to it, and we say, well, this is going to be an easy day, or this is going to be a difficult day, and we make that judgment before we even get there. And Paul's conclusion is, hey, look, verse 24, I don't account my life for any value. It's not precious to myself. I have one thing in mind, finish the goal. Finish the goal. Show of hands, who's ever had a big goal? Like something you really wanted to achieve in life. Like this is it. You made sacrifices for that goal? Yeah. You said, hey, that doesn't matter because I'm going here. That doesn't matter because I'm going to win. That doesn't matter because I know what I want, and it is valuable enough to sacrifice everything for. We've all been there, and that's what Paul says Jesus is for him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm blessed with some good days. It doesn't matter if I'm blessed with some difficult days. It doesn't matter because the line, the finish line, the goal is there. So the obstacles I have to whoop, jump around, the things, the wrenches that I have to dip, dive, and duck to avoid, all of those, the hurdles I have to jump over, the things I have to stiff arm, whatever, the things that I just need to run around, I'm getting there no matter what. And some days are going to be downhill running. Whoa, this is easy. And some days are going to be a slog. Doesn't matter. He says, the only thing that matters is my goal. And church, if Jesus is big enough for us, if you and I have an inkling, a clue about what Jesus has done for us, he is a worthy goal. And if he's not, if Jesus is not a worthy goal, you better check your faith in your Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you are tempted to go, yeah, this is getting difficult, I don't think it's worth it. Now, that's probably not any of you because you're sitting here this morning. But do you know how many people that happens to? They start the journey and what happens? Obstacles come and they're going, no, it's easier just to go with the flow. It's easier just to let myself be carried along the mudslide that is this earth and where it's headed. So I'm just going to give up control. And I'm just going to go along. Because it's easier. There's less resistance. When you know how great the goal is, nothing will stop you from getting there. And that's what Paul's saying. My life, that's the only thing that matters. Jerry read for us in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like us to turn over there for a second. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, in this part of the letter, Paul's writing to a young minister, and he's giving him some encouragement. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, here, Paul's using the same idea of the finish line, but here, Paul is writing a little later in his life from a prison cell, Well, I mean, he's under house arrest, but he's, in essence, he's captured. He's imprisoned. And at the end of his life, he can't get out anymore. He can't travel by boat anymore. He can't visit these churches anymore. So what does he do? He writes a letter. He writes a letter. Now, this one was very convicting to me, okay? Because, as good Christians, you and I are very tempted with the idea of looking at other good Christians and asking ourselves, why aren't they doing something for me? It's very tempting to look around at other people and say, well, why aren't they doing this for me? Why aren't they taking care of this for me? And Paul's example here in writing to Timothy, Paul is stuck. He can't get to Timothy, but what does he do? He uses whatever wisdom, knowledge, understanding, love, and energy that he has. And he is claimed here in 2 Timothy 4:6, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I'm at the end, Timothy. But what does Paul do? He writes to encourage Timothy. Paul gives us a wonderful example of what it means to walk by the Holy Spirit of Christ. What that means is I don't stop. I don't kick my feet up and say, I've done enough, now everybody else take care of me. That's not what following Christ looks like. What following Christ looks like is, do I have an opportunity today? Then I use it for somebody else. Do I have strength within my body? Then I give it to somebody else. Do I have a voice, a cell phone, a pencil and a paper? Then somebody else needs something from me. Now, church, this is a radical way to view our lives. This is a radical way to view our lives. That we are going towards a goal. And everything that we do is going to get us to that goal. And every ounce within us is for that goal. And that's what Paul does here. Paul's close to his finish line, and he is not looking to be coddled into a peaceful end. He is looking back. He is reaching back to those who are still on their race and running their course, and he's sending encouragement backwards to them. That is different than how we look at life. We look at life, well, I've done everything, right? So I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to let everybody come and serve me because I'm at the end. Nope. That's not what Paul does. That's not what Paul does. Paul says, I got some energy left. I'm going to reach back to this young disciple, and I'm going to encourage him. Now, as I get a little older, and I'm getting a little older, very tempting as we get a little older as believers. So start to look back and go, hey, those younger people, they got, you know, the energy of youth. They should be doing this and they should be doing that. Well, those of us that are older, are we reaching back? Are we reaching back? Or are we saying, well, I'm older, so, you know, do this for me? Or are we reaching back and saying, you know what? I know what it's like. I remember what it's like to have kids that are how old? 9. Thank you. 9, 11, and 13. So should I look at the Spears and go, they're young, they got a lot of energy, they should be doing stuff for me? Or should I go, you know what? I remember 9 and 11 and 13. And maybe I should be reaching back. You see the difference? You see the difference? That's a big difference. That's a very big difference. So even when we get close to the end and we are nearing the end, we are reaching back, we are encouraging someone else to keep it up. You got this. You can do this. The point is, we are not selfish. Like, okay, I'm close enough to the finish line. I'm just going to coast here and everybody else can take care of themselves. No. Paul's example is, okay, who else might need some encouragement? Who else might need to be pulled along. Who else might be having a difficult time and I need to reach back and give them some? Now, church, that needs to happen for all of us at all ages. Because at some ages, we got energy, right? Some ages, we got wisdom. Whatever we got, it's for somebody else. Whatever we got, it's for somebody else. What we don't do is start looking at each other going, well, you know what? I need to be respected more for who I am. I need to be praised more. They need to appreciate me for what I bring to the table. Jerry read it out loud. I know you all heard it. I don't know if you were paying attention. But it says here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Who's the one giving out awards? Who is it? Who is it? I can't hear it, and I don't think you believe it. Who's giving out the awards? Thank you. Quit looking for that award from somebody else. Quit looking for pats on the back and other people telling you what a great job you're doing. Quit looking for any thanks or praise. Well, they just don't appreciate me there. Nobody recognizes what I do. Well, Jesus already told you about that. If you receive your reward from men, what's the consequence? That's all you get. So instead, I am looking towards the finish line. I am pouring myself out because nothing matters but to make it. Because when I make it, the Lord Himself will give me all the award I need. And if I stop and go, boy, you know what? My wife doesn't appreciate all that I do for her. You know what happened? I stopped. Sunrise. Such a small place. They just don't appreciate all the hard work that I put in. I stopped. I took my eyes off the finish line and I started looking at everybody else all around me and complaining because they don't give me the award that I think I deserve. And Paul says here very clearly, there is one award that we are working towards, and there is only one award giver that matters, because there is nothing that you can give me that is better than what my Lord can provide for me on that day. That ought to say something to our hearts. I hope it does. Let's go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. All right, now he talks to the elders and he says, hey, this is what you need to be doing for the flock. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. So he looks to the elders and he says, you've got a mission. Pay attention. Pay attention to yourselves and pay attention to the church. Look out for what's going on outside and look out for what's going on in here. And Paul tells this specific church, he goes, look, I'm going away and I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen from your own number. Fierce wolves are going to rise up and they're going to try to lead people astray. You're a shepherd. Be on the lookout. Pay attention. Now, for us shepherds here at Sunrise, we have a responsibility. We got to pay attention. We got to keep our eyes open. We got to know what's going on out there. We got to know what's going on in here. We have a responsibility. Now, I know for some of us, we may look at that and go, oh, good. Whew, that part's not talking to me. I'm not a shepherd, so, whew, yeah, good. Well, all of us, wherever we're at, whatever title we may have, whatever responsibility we may have, every single one of us needs to pay attention. Keep alert. Keep alert. You never won a race on cruise control, did you? You never finished a goal just going, oh, well, maybe we'll get there. Right? It doesn't happen. It is focus. It is eyes on the prize. It is drive. It is determination. That's how you win. That's how you get there. So pay attention. Pay attention to your faith. Pay attention to the faith of others. Look at what's going on around us. Look at what's going on within us. We are responsible for each other. All right, then the last section, verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands minister to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. All right, so Paul's example of hard work, gospel and vocation. He said, look, I have spent all this time with you and I have shared with you the truth about Jesus. And he goes, and also I've been working with my hands to provide. And so Paul gives this example to say, look, you're without excuse. I have not withheld anything from you. I gave you everything there is to know about Jesus. I have poured it out all in you. All right? And that's your example to follow. That is your example to follow. And then he said in verse 35, in all things I have shown you that by working hard, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's kind of a tough lesson because sometimes we're like, well, hey, I am working hard. I'm taking care of myself. I'm making sure that no one else has to provide for me. But then he goes and he brings in the words of Jesus and he says, yeah, but remember this, help the weak. Not everybody's as capable as you. Not everybody is able as you. Not everybody has as much as you. So what do you need to remember what Jesus says? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Have something to give. Have something to give. You're sharing the good news. You're living life. You're reaching towards your goal. But have something to give others along the way. Have something to give. And you know, I don't know, maybe we need to give like there's no tomorrow. Maybe we need to give like there's no tomorrow. Because what prevents us from being generous? It's fear. It's fear or it's pride, right? I can't give that away. I worked hard. You know how hard I worked for that? Pride. Not, oh, you know how much God blessed me? Okay, well, if God blessed me, if all good gifts come from the one above, then maybe those good gifts serve a bigger purpose than just making me comfortable, right? Ephesians chapter 3. Yeah, that's worth reading. Have something to give. All right, I'm going to close it out in Proverbs 11. Let's go back. Proverbs 11. It's right after Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Yeah, what's after Ecclesiastes? Thank you, Song of Solomon. We're in Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Go down to verse 24. Proverbs 11, 24 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. God has this crazy idea that he provides for us so that we can share with others. He's got this just wild idea that he takes care of our needs so that we, out of our surplus, can actually care for the needs of others. And when we do, what happens? We're blessed. We're blessed. Right? You can't... Thank you. I was going to say it. Lisa beat me to it. You can't outgive God. You can't. You can't be more generous than him. You can't. It's impossible. You can try. It's a good challenge. It's a good challenge. God calls us to give. This is where the blessings are. I mean, Paul quoted Jesus back in Acts. Back in Acts, the words are read, right? It's more blessed to give than receive. That's where joy is. That's where fulfillment is. It's in the giving. It's not in the receiving, right? Anybody get to give any gifts this week? Anybody open any gifts this week? Anybody get any chocolate this week? The promise of chocolate. I think I love that. The promise of chocolate. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody hate all the eyes in the room looking at them while they open their presents? There's a few of us, I know. Yeah, there's most of us. That's not the fun part. You know how many videos I watched this week of just having a kid just open the box and inside there was another wrap box? Anybody have to do that? Have multiple wrap? Oh, you got that one? Okay. That's just embarrassing. So Jesus said, look, it's happier to give. It's happier to give. I love that. Our boys got to come out to our house on Christmas. And our boys are big enough that they actually, you know, they gave us a gift. And that was fun. That's fun, but you know, it wasn't, I mean, as much as I love, Carson got me a new pair of shoes. They're these. I love them. They're great. They're blue. They're blue and I'm wearing them. And I'm very thankful. My kid's big, he's growing up, he's got a job, he got me a gift, and hey, very cool. But you know what I love more? Letting Carson open the gifts that I got him. That was cool. This is fun, but that was cool. Because that's the heart that God has. It just makes you happy to give. And when our heart becomes more like his, we look more like him. And we just find the blessing in being able to give. So Paul ends this talk to this group of elders in this church in Ephesus. And he says, look, we have a goal. We're working towards it. Nothing's going to stop us from getting there. And along the way, remember, your life is holy. So live it right. The words that we say are calling people back to their Creator. And whatever God has given us, whatever God has provided for us, whatever blessings we have, even if we worked with our own hands and that paycheck has our name on it, that's from God. Use that to be a blessing to others. It's very simple, but I think very appropriate words heading into a new year. So, there it is.